RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Yeah, be on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Welcome aboard. It's a Misery Monday. It's a seventh place Monday. It's a Misery Monday again, times two for Virginia Tech football fans or UVA fans or JMU fans. There's a lot of misery this morning. It's not a day of winners, but we got a lot to talk about. Wild finish out there in Landover, of course. We'll get to that. You'll hear from Dan Quinn. VCU basketball. Bookmark 11 o'clock. You want to be in front of your radio at 11 o'clock right here on The Fan. Robbie and Rodney had a great chat with Joe Bamisil after the game. We'll play that. But I got some big picture stuff I want to talk about. And I'll tease it. I don't want to hear about the officiating. I saw my guy Zach Joachim. I saw my guy Awad. Both, you know, did not like the officials this weekend. And I get that. I'm not here to say that was the best officiating crew ever. I'm here to say I think there are big maturity-related issues with this VCU basketball team that need to be addressed before bad officiating can be cited as a reason for losing. We will dive into that as the show goes on, 11 o'clock and then 11:15. Joe Bamisil's post-game interview with Robbie and Rodney after the Miami win, which is absolutely fantastic. You want to hang around for that. Commanders talk, of course, on deck at 10:30. I'm going to set the stage for the Commonwealth Cup, the coldest one ever to be played, most likely. Game time temperature right now forecast at 18 degrees. Could be, probably will be, the coldest game ever played by Virginia Tech at Lane Stadium. What does it all mean? Five wins for Tech, five wins for UVA. Winner of that one's going to go to a bowl game. There's a lot on the line. Tony Elliott, that would obviously be a tenure-defining win for him to get to a bowl by knocking out Virginia Tech, get UVA back to the postseason. Technically, first time since 2021, although they did not play the bowl game that year. That was the COVID year. For Brent Pry, it's pretty simple. I don't see any way Brent Pry could lose this game and keep his job. And we'll talk about this at 10:30. There's a lot of extraneous factors, a lot of injuries, but the close game score record continues to trend downward, and I do believe Brent Pry is likely playing for his future at Virginia Tech on Saturday in the rivalry game against UVA. You know, we don't throw that around lightly, but we've been watching it all season, and I do think that's where we're headed with Brent Pry and the Hokies and Rivalry Week. Of course, who's talking tonight at 6 o'clock, as it usually is on Monday nights. They'll have plenty to talk about. Senior Day loss to SMU didn't bother me one bit. All eggs in that Tech basket, and I think this will be a competitive football game. So we'll get to all that. Of course, we'll crosstalk with AWOD, AWOD Radio, at noon, live from Capitol Ale House on Mondays, assuming he made it back from Charleston. Looked like he had a fun off-the-court weekend down there, even if it was not a fun on-the-court weekend for the Rams. All right, where to even start with this one yesterday? Cowboys 34, Commanders 26, and the score is the least interesting part of this entire thing. I'll remind you, it was 3-3 at halftime. Going into the locker room, it was a 3-3 game. you know, Misery Monday, and there, I got a lot of complaints. I got a lot of things I'm going to say about this, and it was an unwatchable football game in the first half, and then a thrilling finish, you know, wild back and forth and back and forth down the stretch. Tons of fun there at the end, and they started doing some things. Here's, and we'll talk about the extra point in the kicking game, which I have a lot of thoughts on as well. And we talked about that before the season, too, that these guys just aren't settled in the little things and the little areas. It's not a place where they're, you know, that's what good, that's what really good perennial playoff teams do. That's what Adam Peters is going to build these guys into. They're not there yet. But I want to start with this. And I don't mind, you know, I don't mind cutting against the grain a little bit. So I'm going to do that here. I think Jaden Daniels played really well yesterday. That's my opening take here. And I'm prepared to back it up. I think Jaden Daniels played fantastic yesterday against the Dallas Cowboys. I think he's back. I think that for all the talk of injuries and ribs and fading and all that, I think Jaden Daniels did exactly what he needed to do yesterday. He was efficient with his legs. He was smart with his legs. He made the plays with his legs when he needed to. I loved everything about Jaden Daniels running yesterday. He was great running the ball. I thought his passing game, he had a couple misses, but on the whole, he had a lot of hits. It doesn't mean that every throw was caught, because they weren't. There were some very high-profile drops. Doesn't mean every throw was not fumbled. There were two of them, the Bates fumble and the B-Rob fumble. There were some production issues there downstream. The first throw long to Terry coming out of the timeout where he does it, you know, it's the Bobby Wagner forces the Rico Dowdle fumble coming out of the commercial right there at the end of first quarter, going long to Terry. I love it. He puts the ball on the money. Terry doesn't bring it in. He had some that he put on the money early that weren't brought in. I thought Jaden Daniels played really well. That's the guy I want to roll with into the season. That's my Pepsi Rookie of the Week right there. I don't care what Bo Nix did. Don't tell me about what Bo Nix did. I ride with Jaden Daniels. Drake May had a nice highlight too. Doesn't matter. I ride with Jaden Daniels. JD was back to form. That's a guy you can win with the rest of the way. And I'm talking about the whole body of work, although obviously you know this. If he has the ball late in the game, you've got a chance. And they proved that multiple times over, especially the way he led them down for that touchdown that we thought was going to put them back in the game. This was the 20-17 touchdown where he has the touchdown throw to Ertz. That was a beauty of a drive. Goes up high. Diami gets it. There's a penalty. They call it back. Finds Ertz. He continued to make great throws all throughout that drive. I loved it. And then two-point conversion. The two-point conversion was clearly an option play. He could have kept it. He could have pitched it out to Austin Ekeler. Watching that play, it's clear. Breaking the huddle, Five knew it was an option play, and he knew who was going to have the ball. He wanted that ball in his hands in that big moment, two-point conversion to cut this to a field goal game. He was not pitching the ball to Austin Ekeler. Didn't matter what was happening. He was taking the ball in himself. And I think Micah Parsons could have had a line on him potentially if the guy in front of him hadn't stopped short there. Whatever the situation, whatever it was there, Five was on his game. Jaden Daniels played an outstanding football game. Let's talk about Cliff Kingsbury. Before we get into the everything else, because the everything else is a lot of things. Cliff Kingsbury did not call a fantastic football game, and it's officially time, right? I said I was hopeful all last week we wouldn't have to go there. Cliff Kingsbury fades late in the season. You're hoping he gets it right against the Dallas Cowboys. He didn't get it right against the Dallas Cowboys. Stagnant offense, didn't give his O-line any help. You know, MP, there were injuries on the offensive line. The Cowboys had injuries on their offensive line, too. And they seem to be doing just fine. That's scheming. That's coaching. And look, you'd rather play with the full deck and not have him be honest. Hurts them, of course. And then Wiley leaves. I'm not going to pretend it doesn't. The scheming wasn't sound. The play calling wasn't good. They were at their best late in the game in tempo where Jaden took over, where the script took over. I got big time concerns about Cliff Kingsbury. And this is this is something that's not going anywhere. I said last week, win against Dallas, make everything else go away, right? All that, Cliff Kingsbury fades late in the season. Just beat Dallas, move on, get a nice, well-deserved reset. They didn't beat Dallas. He didn't call the game well. First possessions started on the Dallas 41, their own 32, the Dallas 47, and their own 42. And to come out of that with 3 points, for a team that's done well on the first 15 script all year, was tough to see. No urgency at the end of the half into the two-minute warning. And then you see Dallas with the urgency and gets the field goal to make it 3-3 going into halftime. That's tough. The little things didn't go their way. And, you know, some of this is turnovers in the NFL, highly cyclical game. And they were due for a couple of those to not bounce their way. Igbinoghene gets the interception, gets it bounced away from him, right? Those are the things that are going to happen over time. The kicking, though, well, I mean, we got to talk about the kicking, and we'll hear from Dan Quinn on the other side. There was no reason for any of that, and I'm not talking about the extra point, extra points plural. I'm talking about the start of the week, why you're rushing an injured kicker back when it's not, I was going to say not Justin Tucker, but even Justin Tucker is not Justin Tucker anymore. Look at the Chiefs did. Bucker went out. They just got a new guy. There's more than 32 good kickers in the United States of America. No reason to rush your guy back. Part two of that, they let him kick a 51-yarder. He's not good from 50-plus. We've seen that over and over this year. He's now 1-for-4 from 50-plus, but he doesn't hit it soundly on those kicks at all. That was a 4th-and-2 at the Dallas 32, and you waste all your momentum with that field goal. Go for it, man. You got Jaden Daniels. He's rolling. That's what you need to do. Late in the game, I have no issues with kicking the extra point instead of going for two. It probably all comes out in the wash, more or less. Would it have been the decision I made? No, but you guys already know my belief, which is playing less professional football is better than playing more professional football, which is why I would have gone for two. I don't have a problem with Dan Quinn doing the one. But man, you miss two extra points in a game, and then you kick the ball off. I'm talking, a few minutes before that, you kick the ball off in bounds. Make them drive. They got Cooper Rush. Make them drive. And Dan Quinn's answer for that after the game was, it's harder than you think to kick the ball out of the end zone. So here's the thing. Could I kick the ball out of the end zone right now from an NFL tee? No, I could not. Could Awad do it? No, he couldn't. Are there 32 people in this country who could consistently do it? I have to believe that yes, there are. Your guy can't do it, and he's injured, and you didn't go get another guy. I tend to believe there is a guy not playing for an NFL team right now who could kick the ball out of the end zone. Saves you a lot of headache, a lot of head scratchers there. I don't think Dan Quinn lost this game. I don't think the defense lost this game. Obviously, they gave up some points towards the end, but I thought they held the they bent, they didn't break. I thought for the large majority of the game, they gave the offense chances to win. But I do think Cliff Kingsbury very much had a hand in this. This was a rough performance from the offensive coordinator, and this is something we're going to be talking about today and all week long. All right, with that teed up, more Commanders on the break. After the break, right after this, Misery Monday, you're listening to 910 The Fan, at 105.1 FM. And beyond the mic, Misery.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Every Monday here on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, abbreviated week. We won't be with you, of course, on Thursday or Friday. We'll be back with you next week, wrapping up Commanders and the Titans, and of course, the Commonwealth Cup, which I'll get to in the next segment. Tomorrow, we'll have Commanders Rewind, and for the third straight week, you'll be hearing the AI voice telling you that the Commanders lost, and you need to listen to it again. That's not good. Nobody wants that. We don't want that. Hazel doesn't want that. I don't want that. But it's what we're doing here because this was a frustrating 34-26 loss. I didn't even get into the injuries in the opening segment. Offensive lines banged up. The running back injuries. B-Rob gets hurt on a first carry. Eckler gets hurt on the last. You bookend the game with what appear to be major injuries to your two workhorse backs, and that's what really concerns me going forward. I think Jaden Daniels had a great game. I'm worried about Cliff Kingsbury, but those two guys, B-Rob and Eckler, the saving grace has been when you don't have one, you have the other, as they've alternated missing time this year. If they're both out and both out for a little while, This is a situation now all of a sudden for the Commanders and their running game. Dan Quinn chatted after the game in D.C. Star-studded crowd in D.C. Jay-Z was there for the game. Greg Olson calling it on Fox. I love Greg Olson. He's so good at this. It's got buzz. It's got hype. That's the way you take the air out of the balloon right there with the first half like that. Just wasn't good enough in any way. Some outstanding individual performances. Frankie Louvu's still great. You know, I think Jaden Daniels was great. Mike San Ristel just keeps playing really well. And if Marshawn Lattimore ever gets healthy, they're going to have some tough decisions to make there because I don't want to take that dude off the field. I think he's playing really, really well. Let's go to the situational stuff first. Let's hear from Dan Quinn. This is about the end of the game and just kind of all the craziness that happened there and his message to the team.
What I told the team after the game was that this is the most challenged we've been in our time together. And I reminded them it's not enough to learn the lessons, but we have to apply them. And love the fight that we have, fight games, close games, but we've got to apply them. Learn the lesson of the finishing the ball, whatever that might apply to, we've got to make sure we do that. And so I remind them it's never about one play. And so that execution falls on all of us players and coaches. And I firmly believe that. And so we'll get to it tomorrow. We'll look at the tape and get right to the truth of it all. So all that said, let's get rocking with you guys.
Dan, just the weirdness of the end of that game. You've been around this sport for a long time. I mean, can you capture how strange
yeah.
it is?
To There's been a lot of weird that? Already. I love it. You know, and that's what I'm wanting that belief to go, because we've been in these being battle tested as a first year group more than most. And you want to be able, that's kind of why I said what I said at the beginning. It's not just learning them and being in these, end of game winning time moments. It's about winning them. And we've won some, but I want to make sure, like, every time we go, this is the edge, this is where to go, this is the time to go capture it. And I love that we're never out of the fight, but I do want to make sure it doesn't have to go to that space.
That's Dan Quinn speaks for me, and I've got a feeling he doesn't speak for you. A lot of frustration, obviously, losing to the Cowboys, dud of a game. Jaden looked so good at the end in tempo. He's back. You know me. Everything's a referendum on do you have a starting quarterback, and I love to see him bounce back towards the end of the year. And the first half wasn't on him. It was on the receivers, the offensive line, and Cliff Kingsbury, and in no particular order there. Jaden was delivering darts most of the game. His guys were fumbling. His guys weren't catching them. He is so good in those tempo situations, ball in his hand, and he got another Hail Mary after the Eckler injury. I mean, they had even another chance. Not getting it to Terry McLaurin, I don't know how much of that lands on Jaden, how much of that lands on Terry, how much of that lands on Cliff. It's not good, though. You can't win without your star receiver, and that's something they're going to need to fix going forward. I thought they had done a nice job of that midway through the season. I also thought, you know, I haven't seen bad football in a while, so it's kind of jarring to see football that bad, right? It was the worst game ever. You watched last decade with me. But it was a bad game, and it wasn't anywhere near as good as the most recent ones are. Here's Dan Quinn, DQ, after the game on the offense.
Sometimes I feel there's when you make a mistake, is that one that's technique or over trying? And sometimes that can be a thing to make sure, just make the plays that come to you. And that's part of execution too. And I want to make sure we just stay into that pocket of doing that. Any player or coach can, I'm going to make the perfect call or the perfect run or whatever that looks like. And more often than not, just the best ones executed. And, we'll continue to work hard at that. But as we're going through, that's something we're going to dig to. I think we had talked last week or the week before about, self-scouting and that. And we stay pretty consistent with that throughout. So I don't necessarily feel it's that as much as let's make sure this execution is right. And I was very pleased that we had practice this past week where we got more, shots at it, more things to go. And I look forward to that being the case again, because that's really how you do get better. And I love the energy that guys had, and although it didn't carry over into the game for the execution, the preparation was right.
That's Dan Quinn, coach of the Washington Commanders. He says the prep was right. And clearly, if you want to get negative on this, and I'm okay if you want to get negative on this, it's a misery Monday. You lost to the Dallas Cowboys, a bad football team. They're a really bad football team. 10 days rest to their Monday night football short week travel. That should never happen. And this was a team that was ill-equipped to take advantage of being in the dominant position early in the game. Dallas didn't want to be there early. They were stumbling and rumbling and tumbling and making turnovers, making life difficult on themselves. The offense was not in a position to capitalize. Very strange, given how good the early scripts were early in the season. Very strange, given that I do believe Jaden Daniels was far healthier than I believed he was last week. Jaden Daniels was not the problem yesterday. Cliff Kingsbury was. And then you got that array of injuries going around. Eckler and B-Rob both getting hurt. That is a tough thing right there. But Dallas gave you so many chances. And then, of course, the defense, the special teams giving you opportunities, the blocked punt, Dallas missing field goals. And Dallas has a good kicker, too. Something about NFC East kickers, they can't handle playing the Washington Commanders. Jake Elliott in Philly was so bad on Thursday night. And, of course, Giants kicker got hurt first play at FedEx Field. We intimidate an opposing kicker like nobody's business. It's everything else, though. The other frustration was the late touchdown by Dallas to make it 20-9, which was, and again, I said this, I think Greg Olson's so good on TV. He identifies right away the defense isn't communicating, right? And that you just shouldn't send shivers down your spine if you're a Commanders fan, because all we've heard about is them not communicating over the years. And then here we are in the same spot again, giving up a big score, 20-9. If anything, that 20-9 allowed them to give Jaden Daniels the green light to go tempo. He did, took things over. That's when he started looking his best. That's when the craziness happened at the end of the game. But there just wasn't, just too many mistakes up and down across the board in a pretty crazy game to begin with. Now, where does this leave them? Certainly not out of it by any stretch. You got Tennessee coming in this week. Now, Tennessee beat Houston. I love that. I love that Tennessee's coming in off a win. All the more reason you got to go get them. They're not hungry for breaking a streak or anything. They're good. That's a game you got to win. That's a game I think they can win. That gets them to 8. And then you're coming down the stretch here, and You've got some tough games. It may come down to the finale in Dallas. As much as nobody wants to hear that, this team's playoff eligibility might be determined on the very last game of the season. What's interesting about that to me is I've kind of already mentally made peace with this. I think the Commanders are going to be the 7 seed, and they're going to play the 2 seed, the Philadelphia Eagles. They're going to go up to the Link for the first game, for the first round playoff game. I don't love that matchup for them. It's a matchup-driven league. If they could somehow get to the 6 seed or the 5 seed, play against Atlanta or one of those West teams, I would love that. I think that would be a really good thing for them. I don't think it's going to happen, though. I'm still talking playoffs. That's what you need to hear from me. If you're a Cowboys fan, laugh away. I laughed at you guys all year. You got your day. You got your day right here. Laugh at me. Laugh at us, because I was really confident coming into this one, and I'm really concerned coming out of it. Lots of warning signs all over the place. This is not what you wanted to see at all from a play calling perspective, from a coaching perspective, and certainly not from an injury perspective. Dan Quinn speaks this afternoon. Grant and Danny will relay updates to you from 3 to 6. AWOD Radio, as you know, takes over at noon. We got a lot to get to between now and then. We will get back to the Commanders. Don't worry about that. But I want to set the stage for the Commonwealth Cup, which I think is one of the more intriguing ones in recent years, and certainly a high-stakes, low-temperature rivalry game Saturday night down in Blacksburg. We'll address that. We're back with more. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. Misery Monday, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Misery Monday 4 in no particular order. Virginia Tech football, UVA football, JMU football, Washington Commanders football, and a 7th place Monday for VCU coming back from Charleston, not the way they wanted to at all. We're going to do a big VCU chunk, 11 to 11:30, a little VCU hoops talk. Swing back for that. And of course, it's a Commander's Misery Monday on the station that gives you the most Commander's talk in town, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. It's Cowboys fans laugh at MP Day. That's how it goes. It's turnabout is fair play. Y'all don't have a good football team either. And if anything, some of the Dallas fans I talked to were like, we're trying to tank here. Quit ruining this for us, which is a completely valid perspective. We've been there. We've lived that of the like, oh gosh, are they going to win this? They are going to win this, aren't they? The good news for the Cowboys fans, it kind of doesn't matter, because you don't need a quarterback, right? You don't need to tank all the way to 1 to get a quarterback. And the Giants are so bad, just honestly, on their own, like genuinely bad, not tank bad, that you're not going to catch them no matter how hard you try. Tommy DeVito, the magic is gone there. So we'll dive into all that as the show goes on. I want to take a spin around college football in a bit, too. I want to make sure we make time for that, because it was a wild weekend in college football. There was no clarity in the playoff race. We just muddied it up a little bit more. Let's root for chaos down the stretch. If we're gonna have a 12-team playoff, let's have 12 teams of chaos. Let's see how badly we can muck this up down the stretch. I do think the ACC and Big 12 are both now solidly one-bid leagues. I think Notre Dame is in without question now, and of course Boise is your definitive representative of the other schools, whatever you want to call that, the non-power four. So I think we have the structure of the playoffs pretty well set here, where you've got the 6 teams that you're going to let in, the 4 power conference champs, your Boise and Notre Dame. That leaves 6 wild card spots to be distributed in between the Big Ten and the SEC. And my thoughts on that are, I think the SEC is hurting itself by how good it is. I'm not Paul Feinbaum. I'm not here to stir the pot like that. But I think that all these SEC teams on the bubble can beat all these Big Ten teams on the bubble. I really do. And I also think they got no business taking 1 loss Indiana, because of the message it will send going forward. But we'll dive into all that later in today's program. Right now, though, we're getting you ready for one of the more interesting Commonwealth Cups of all time. UVA's got 5 wins. Tech has 5 wins. The winner's going to a bowl. The loser's not going anywhere. The Pop-Tarts Bowl is way out of range at this point. Tech botched their chances at that against Duke. Another one score tight loss for Virginia Tech. A ton of explanations, a ton of, you know, extracurricular factors here. Here's Brent Pry on the loss and what happened.
You know, obviously disappointing to not win the game. Just didn't do enough things that contribute to winning. We gave them a head start. Got them some easy ones. No disrespect to them, but we didn't make them earn it early in the game like we needed to. Three big explosives that were very costly. I thought we battled all night long. Very resilient effort. They battled all the way to the end. You know, with a young quarterback, gave us a chance to win it in the fourth.
Yeah. So here's where we start with that. There's no relief today, by the way. That sigh is just, we're talking about the Commanders, ugh. And we're talking about VCU basketball, ugh. You know, aside from beating Miami. And then we get to the Tech UVA football segment. It's just, there is no relief from the misery. It is just pounding at you today. This may be the miseriest misery Monday we've, this is the biggest misery Monday we've had in the history of this show. Full stop, for sure. I can say that with great confidence. We've done this show for a year and two, 3 months now, so 15 months of this show. This is easily the most misery Monday we've had. When you add in UVA basketball getting waxed in the Bahamas, which isn't going to make today's show at all, by the way. That's it. That's the full mention of UVA basketball today. But boy, was that terrible. JMU's probably not going to get a lot of airtime either. My gosh, going down to App State and getting their butt kicked down there. Right, it's a full-on misery Monday. You throw in how bad the Cowboys were. Misery Monday. But we're building to the Commonwealth Cup now, and that's where I was going with this Brent Pry clip. He's, hey, you know, had a young quarterback. We're doing things. We're showing fight. I don't want fight. It's year three, man. I need more than fight. Dan Quinn can tell me fight. Dan Quinn's in year one. Cliff Kingsbury can tell me fight. Cliff Kingsbury, you know, is in year one in Washington. You can't tell me fight. The expectations were far too high this year. This isn't a fight year. This isn't a fight team. This is a team that needs to win, and win games and assert itself. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, Brent Pry's coaching for his job on Saturday, and there's no sugarcoating that. You can't miss a bowl in year three with a really good lineup coming back, lose to your rivals. You can't do it. It's just not even on the board of possibilities here to keep your job if you lose this game. Now, win the game, it's a different discussion. I really want it to work. He's a great representative for the school. Maybe you give him a year, see what he can do on the recruiting trail. Maybe you put somebody else in his ear as an assistant coach or a coordinator or something like that. There are options here. Those options all include beating UVA this weekend. Now, here's what's interesting to me. Brent Pry devoted his post-game press conference to being close against Duke and all that. And, you know, he had his third-string quarterback, Pop Watson, came in, and I thought Pop Watson showed some things. We'll talk about him as the week goes on, of course, because you don't know what's going on there. Here's Tony Elliott coming in after the game, and I think this is the exact right note to hit, and it scares me that I'm saying this because y'all know I've been a Brent Pry guy, not a Tony Elliott guy all this time. I thought Tony Elliott hit the exact right note after getting his butt kicked by SMU over the weekend.
You know, my message to them is, man, what a rivalry means to me, you know, and what I'm used to. And what it means to me is it's not about me. It's bigger than me. It's about everybody else that it touches. And so rivalry week, it's not about how you feel. It ain't about anything other than I got a responsibility to do my best because there are a lot of people that are counting on me that this game means a whole heck of a lot to. And we're very capable, right? North Carolina, we responded and went on the road and won on the road versus a very good football team. So we're capable. We don't have as much time to prepare. But we got a responsibility to go play our best football next week in Blacksburg.
Ooh, boy. If UVA starts understanding that this is a rivalry, Ooh, this could be a different kind of thing. Here's what we've got on the table right now. UVA can run the ball, has a good defense. Virginia Tech struggles in close games, and it's going to be 18 degrees at kickoff on Saturday night in Blacksburg. Am I crazy, or does this maybe possibly a little bit stack in the Wahoos' favor? I don't know. It feels weird saying that because for so many years, Tech has owned this rivalry and Tech has treated it like a rivalry, despite UVA not having any clue that this is a rivalry, showing up to play another football game and realizing pretty quickly it's not and it's too late to do anything about it. If Tony Elliott realizes this is a rivalry and he starts doing something about it, I trust Tony Elliott in the close game more than I trust Brent Pry. I do. I think we've got a really interesting Commonwealth clash brewing this weekend. And I think there's a lot on the line for both schools. You know, this isn't going to be your traditional like rivalry, you know, fire up the band. This is going to be an ugly, gray, brutal night of football down there in Blacksburg in the cold. I think maybe UVA's better suited to that. I don't know. We'll see. It makes me second guess myself even just saying that. I also loved, we don't have time today for the Tony Elliott clip because it's long. We will play it tomorrow, though, when we have more time, when we're not doing Commander's Rewind, which could be a terrible Commander's Rewind. Yeah, it's going to be me praising Jaden Daniels and then heaving everybody else under the bus after that loss. He took a swing at everybody who keeps calling for him to make a quarterback switch. I love it. Also, you got like this old journalist fight, Chris Graham. Everybody knows Chris Graham over there and Jerry Radcliffe. Chris Graham's, oh, you got to change the quarterback. Jerry Radcliffe, who he's like, you know, come on now. Everybody sees he doesn't need to change the quarterback. I love that stuff. Today we're too busy. I don't have time for two sports writers bickering about UVA's quarterback today. We don't have time for that. But we'll have time for that this week. Don't worry about it because it's rivalry week. It's Commonwealth Clash Cup week, whatever you want to call it. It's a big game, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And of course, the Tech broadcast will be right here. 910 The Fan, the UVA broadcast will be over on 1140. That'll be Saturday night, 8 o'clock kickoff. Brent Pry playing for his job. Tony Elliott playing with house money. And if it's a close game, it's butt clenching time. Could be a fun one down there in Blacksburg's all I'm saying. I'm also saying we got to take a break. I'm taking a break in a minute. We got to do that. Back after this, you're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, Misery Monday. Here on The Fan, Misery Loves Company. Thank you for keeping us company up until noon. That's when AWOD Radio takes over. Grant and Danny, 3 to 6, including live updates, as Dan Quinn gives his weekly press conference. And, you know, we got a few updates of note here, starting with the injuries, obviously. Dan Quinn's going to need to update us on what's going on with the two running backs, Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler. I don't think Austin Eckler's going to be back next week. I think everybody understands that. With Brian Robinson, tried to play through the ankle sprain, wasn't able to. That's a little more finicky of one. I'll say this, you're going into the bye week after Tennessee. That's good cause to shut him down for a two-week stretch. On the other hand, whew, boy, you got to win this game. You got to win this game against Tennessee. Otherwise, 7-6, tough final stretch. Ooh, boy. Don't love where things are headed if they don't beat Tennessee. But I'm going to call it right now. Pencil it down, Monday, November 25th. Just shy of 11 o'clock. You heard it right here. MP's picking the boys again this weekend. I liked what I saw from Jaden Daniels. I really did. As we talk about the Commanders, who are now 7-5, and yes, you can call them a Hail Mary away from being 6-6. I'm not going to, though, because the games count the way they count on the field, and Jaden Daniels threw the Hail Mary, and Noah Brown caught the Hail Mary. Noah Brown, who was the team's number one target yesterday because apparently Terry McLaurin has stopped existing. I have no clue what's going on here. There were so many interesting things about this game, and of course, the finish was wild, so the finish gave us plenty to talk about. I think some of the least interesting things about this game were the situational decisions, and Dan Quinn addresses a couple of them here. First off, not going for two, and then the decision to kick a field goal and go back to the onside kick late. Let's go ahead and wouldn't go to that.
No, I thought if after we score, we'd go for one. And the reason behind that, I thought, let's get back into it. But we don't have to decide it on this play. And so that was where I thought, let's go. And then, hey, Joe, we got one stop. We'll get it. And then at the coin toss, you know, let's go through the whole process again and reset it. So I thought in that way, that was the right call. And that, as obviously, you know, you're not factoring in the other part of things. But that was my thought going into it. The previous one, if we had scored, we had to kick a field goal. I wanted to kick the field goal in prior to the 2 minutes so we could use that, have the other timeout. So when you're down two scores, you're kind of a little more strategic to get a kick in prior to a certain time. So that's what we had told Jaden in the offense. Let's get it in before this time. And so it gave us a chance to come back to it, get the stop to go, and then the big one to Terry. So, but I was thinking one the whole time. Sorry, long-winded answer to your question.
Yeah, go for one, go for two. I kind of don't care there. I care that you played Austin Seibert on a week where he was hurting. I care that you let him kick a 50-yard field goal when they had fourth and two from the Dallas 32 and Jaden Daniels is running it. If you want to make an argument for the two-point conversion, it'd be Jaden Daniels could just run it in. On the other hand, I do respect Micah Parsons a lot as a player, and I think he was almost right there on the first two-point conversion. 6 1/2 dozen of the other. Zero wins coming out of this. But I don't have a problem either way. You know me, I always go for two because I'd rather play less professional football than more professional football, especially on a day where my offensive linemen are dropping like flies. I don't want to sign up for 10 more minutes of that. That's kind of a reasoning that isn't a reasoning here, though. If you want to do with the in-game reasoning, I'm fine with, look, we're hot. We're red hot right now. Let's get the ball again. Let's go win this thing in overtime. Sure, you can sell me on that. I don't care. That's doable as an explanation for me. It's everything else with Seibert. And you know, the other one was the field goal, stopping, kicking the field goal. That's just about staying on life support, right? That's trying to prolong your football life as long as you can prolong your football life. And yeah, bought them another few minutes and the onside kick. And then so many blunders in this game. So many blunders. That the bad football experts will be studying this game for years. You have Dallas running back the onside kick for a touchdown, giving Washington a bonus possession for no reason at that point. So many wasted timeouts in the second half. Dallas wastes two timeouts in the second half. Washington wastes a timeout on the challenge, trying to create a fumble. I get what Dan Quinn was doing, but you've also got to know situationally they never overturn those. The kickoff that Washington misfields in the end zone, then almost dribbles out, almost becomes a safety on the kickoff. So much bad football. Bad football experts will be studying this for years. One thing, though, I didn't think was bad was Jaden Daniels. I thought Jaden Daniels played a heck of a game yesterday. He started 4 for 8. And then the 4 for 8, he targeted Terry once, the long shot coming off of the timeout, which I loved, and he put the ball in the money, and a drop by Noah Brown that was on his hands. That's 6 for 8 in my book. That's a perfectly decent start. He was running the ball well. He was using his rushing opportunities well. I didn't have any issues with the kid. I really didn't. I thought he played a nice game. I thought at the end when they let him go to tempo, he started really cooking, and that's what scares me. Cliff Kingsbury, man, he put him in those tempo-friendly situations all season long, and he's backing off of it now, and I'm concerned about the offensive coordinator, and we're going to need to see something against Tennessee on Sunday. Be up there in Landover. We'll take you inside the locker room next Monday. Hopefully inside a winning locker room, because if not, oh boy, we are in Jim Zorn, the sky is falling territory, and nobody wants to be there. Now, I do think that this is a little different because the kid's playing well. Number 5's playing well, but you got issues up and down the rest of the roster. Now a lot of injury questions to answer coming out of this game. Hour number 2 on tap. I would love to talk some VCU basketball and great news. It's my show, so I'm going to do that. We'll break down their weekend in Charleston. Of course, A. Waddle joins for a lacrosse talk. He was down there with them. Maybe get back to UVA and Tech. If not, grab the Odyssey app. It's got the rewind button. Big Commonwealth clash coming up this weekend. Saturday night, 8 o'clock. Winner goes to a bowl game. Loser goes home with frostbite because it's going to be 18 degrees in Blacksburg. Hour number two on tap. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We are worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Hour number two, we kick you over to AWOD Radio in 1 hour. He's live at Capitol Ale House, home of Richmond's OG Burger Night. And then Who's Talking at 6 p.m., continuing our live and local day. Very eventful Who's Talking, I would imagine, as they get you ready for Rivalry Week against Virginia Tech. That'll be Saturday night, 8 o'clock. Both teams at 5 wins. Winner goes to a bowl game. UVA got waxed by SMU, and I like it. I like putting all the eggs in the bowl game basket. It's all on that offensive line to keep Anthony Calandria upright, though. That's what they've got to find a way to do in the next 6 days, next 5 days now, is keep the offensive line upright, avoid those big sacks, those big negative plays. I want to talk about VCU, but I want to talk about big picture first. When we get to March, somebody's going to complain that the Atlantic 10 doesn't get enough respect, that it's a good conference, that they should get more bids to the NCAA tournament. Somebody's going to suggest that VCU needs to get out of here, needs to go to the Big East, where they value basketball. On Friday, the Friday of what they've called Feast Week, with all the college basketball games, all these MTs and all these tournaments, the Atlantic 10 as a conference went 1-6. And that, my friends, is why they won't be getting those. Seth Greenberg, I think there's a 5-bid league this year. Like, well, how about we start with VCU not finishing 7th at an MTE? Maybe that's a better place to start than that. So yesterday against Miami, played well, dominated. Joe Bam was hitting shots. Obviously, when the threes fall as a team, this is going to be really hard to beat by anybody. The irony of it is, going into last week, I said the three teams I want to play down in Charleston are, you got to play Seton Hall in the opener, Nevada in the second round, Miami in the third. They got all three matchups they wanted, and that I think will be beneficial to them. They just got them all in the loser's bracket. And then they got Miami in the seventh place game. A little reminiscent of Penn State, a little deja vu of that beating Mike Rhodes to get out of Orlando earlier in the trip. Right? Little bit of that. Now, obviously, a little different as well. This one wasn't an emotionally charged game with Miami or anything like that. I want to rewind to Friday night against Nevada first, though, because this was a tough finish. Here's Robbie and Rodney.
Again, the Rams into the front court with the basketball, and here we are 24 hours later where we were last night. Max Shulga, top of the key. Shulga, crossover, rises, fires a three, short, and it's rebounded by Nevada. With 34 seconds left, there's a 5-second differential between the shot and game clock. With 4 on the shot clock, Davidson spinning, kicks it out, a three-pointer on its way by Sanders, is good. With 5 seconds left, Rams down 3. It goes to Bamisil, now Shulga, now Jackson, a 3 to tie. No good. Rams fall. Final score, 64-61. Nevada beats the Rams here in Charleston on a late three-pointer.
Yeah, just not much to add to that. Ryan Odom was frustrated after the game. Fans are frustrated after the game. We'll start with this. The officiating was bad in Charleston, but Phillip Russell's got to get it under control. When he got to 3 fouls, the refs were going to take him to 5. And that's not fair officiating, right? It reset, call fouls when they're fouls. He was getting in the referees' heads. You want to get in the opponent's head, not the referee's head. Because when the referees decide they've had it with the way you play, you're out. Now, the other thing is, as the season goes on, these word gets around among these refs, right? And they work similar games. I love Phillip Russell. He's a Ram through and through to the core, and I'm glad he's here. And I think people are going to fall in love with him as the season goes on. He is, and I hate this so much, a big-time flopper. And if the refs catch you flopping, they work against you the rest of the way. Sometimes you can make it work for you, but if you get that reputation, it becomes very hard to get the officiating you need to get. And in the first two games, he got an early and instant foul trouble, and it was a bad thing for the Rams. The finish, I mean, two consecutive finishes where they give it up, and honestly, they gave up a little run to Miami at the end too. Three games where they just did not hold their poise, hold their composure at the end. They just had a big enough lead against Miami. It didn't matter. But that Nevada finish, and, you know, Ryan Odom wanted a timeout, had shades of Holloway for Seton Hall, was screaming for one the night before and didn't get one. You know, the players play through it. The players need to know to look for one in those situations. I do think that was a spot where VCU would have benefited from a timeout. I think there were a lot of weird things that happened in Charleston, and finishing seventh place is among them. But they got their work cut out for them the rest of the way now. It's an uphill climb from here on out for VCU basketball because you didn't take care of business when it was time to take care of business down in Charleston. And that's just the way it is. Now, you got other things as well. Is it Luke Bamboye, British freshman, big dude? Do you want him having a major role on this team? You might, coming out of this, on a team where experience and veteran savvy was supposed to run the day. It sure looks like they're giving a lot more minutes to these freshmen, a lot more significant minutes. And if Firm, you know, isn't going to be a 35-minute-a-game guy, I think you're going to need some Luke Bamboye. And the more I watch Jack Clark, the less I think he's suited to playing inside, especially in games like this against teams like this. Now, they'll ratchet down the difficulty level for the next couple weeks, right? Not counting that New Mexico game, obviously. And they'll have Clark can play inside against a lot of teams, but against that top competition, you need a Firm or a Bamboye. I think he's going to get a lot of minutes going forward. I think he needs to be ready. That's a little bit of a scary thought for the VCU Rams and for the Rams fans. Max Schulga is still good. You know, they had too many fouls too quickly. That was certainly a big thing. Went cold from three, and then you get hot from three against Miami. You got a good shooting day, you can hang with anybody in the country. And you know, that's ultimately, I think ultimately there's going to be 3 days in Washington, D.C., where how well they shoot determines whether or not they go to the NCAA tournament. You know, I think we're building to that. There's a lot of basketball left. There is still a chance for these guys to win an at-large bid into the NCAA tournament. I firmly believe that. Even coming out of this weekend, even as disappointing as those two losses were, as much as they'll regret those, there is absolutely still a chance for this team to win an at-large bid in the NCAA tournament. Price starts with winning at New Mexico, right? That's a big game down there. It includes getting the ones you need to get at St. Bonnie on New Year's Eve. We might know before we turn the calendar to 2025 if these guys are in the at-large hunt or not. Now, I hope they get the win in New Mexico, get the win up in Olean, right back on the board. You go to 25 saying, all right, we feel good. We can change the narrative around this team, because they can change the narrative around this team. That said, there's a lot of basketball and a lot of coaching and a lot of improving that needs to happen between here and there, and I think that was laid pretty bare out there in Charleston this week. You can blame the refs if you want to blame the refs, and you're welcome to blame the refs. But there's a lot of things that need to be cleaned up, discipline-wise, poise-wise. That's the true takeaway for me coming out of this tournament for VCU basketball. And we'll see what they do with it. We'll see where they go from here. And don't discount how nice that Miami win was. I don't know what'll happen to Miami. I don't know what'll happen to Boston College. But you've beaten two ACC teams, and that means something at the end of the year. Even if it's not everything, it does mean something. I promise you that, and that being able to rally back together for that win, and Joe was talking about how, you know, hey, we can do this every time, and they can. They can do this every time. This is an enormously talented team that knew it was in a big situation, went down there and lost its poise at some bad times and had a couple really tough losses. With the foul trouble mounting, with not being able to get good shots, good looks, late in games. That's all it is, though. They can rebound from this, but it is a misery Monday. Seventh place is not a victory Monday. We don't play victory sounders for seventh place, even though it was a nice win against Miami. Weird tournament all around. Weird weekend all around in college basketball. But VCU, Back at the stew this weekend. It's a Joey Rodriguez weekend. So hopefully a nice big win, nice big crowd for Joey Rodriguez. You'll hear it right here on The Fan. I think those are the things that matter now, is finding a way to bake some consistency and some poise and some late game execution and some just please stop flopping. Please stop flopping. It's be tough, be a chatterbox, whatever you want to be.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Stop laughing, guys. It's not a good look for you. And beyond the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We are worldwide on the free Odyssey app. About another half hour with you, then we'll send it over to AWOD Radio live from Capitol Ale House, home of Richmond's OG Burger Night. Pretty good Monday Night Football coming up tonight. You got the Ravens and the Chargers, which I think will be an excellent game. I would say not the most entertaining Sunday of NFL football of all time, but setting up a good week. Next week, some good matchups next week. The Seahawks get the Cardinals. That's a notable result there as it drags everybody into that NFC West, big soupy the battle for first there. The 49ers lose to the Packers. So you've got a lot of NFC West teams all in the middle of it, and Washington is still at 7 wins, well-positioned to win that wild card. But on this Misery Monday, where they lost to the Dallas Cowboys, laugh away if you want to, because it was dreadful. It was a dreadful football game. Dreadful football. Then it got exciting at the end. Jaden got allowed to play with tempo for a second. It was too little, too late. That just miscues, and Dallas ends up winning. So, but Washington still at 7. If they beat Tennessee and get to 8, I still like their positioning in the playoff chase, because you have those NFC South teams too. You know, Tampa's 5-6. That you got two games on them. You got 2.5 games on them. It's just Minnesota and Green Bay are the only teams above you. So you're waiting for one of those West teams to get hot. And while you're waiting for one of those West teams to get hot, you know what you can do? You can beat Tennessee. Keep them at arm's reach. Keep the NFC West to a one-team conference. Doesn't matter what Minnesota does. Doesn't matter what Green Bay does. I'm counting Minnesota and Green Bay both as playoff teams at this juncture. I think it's all about Washington holding off Tampa if they get hot, and whatever team from the West ends up getting hot. But you got a game on these guys. You got to beat Tennessee to keep the pace, because everybody's chasing you here from the West. So Broncos still rolling. Broncos are going to have a fun end of the season here. 7-5. They beat the Raiders. They got the late bye just like Washington does. They're going to be a team to watch here in this playoff chase. Houston, bad loss for Houston to the Tennessee Titans. I'm so happy the Titans beat Houston. I'm being genuine about that. I want the Titans coming in here off of a win. I want them fat and happy. I want them to have as much turkey and stuffing as they want at Thanksgiving on Thursday before they board that plane out here to Landover. I think that's exactly what you want in a bad opponent. You want them coming off a win. Chiefs survived the Panthers. They're not undefeated anymore, so they're not as interesting. And Tommy DeVito, who would have thought? The magic is gone. A year later, Tommy DeVito and the Giants lose again. So they're two games clear of Dallas now for last place in the NFC East. In the draft pick competition, we've got a lot of 2-9 happening right now. Raiders are 2-9 after their loss. Jacksonville is 2-9. They're flying towards the bottom. Patriots 3-9 with an extra game. Jets 3-8. And then of course you've got Carolina 3-8 as well. So it's a crowded space up there at the top of the draft board, which will, those are the late season storylines that you need to follow in the 1 o'clock windows. But other than that, are not super relevant. I said I'd get to the weekend in college football, and I definitely want to. You've got a chaotic board here. The Big 12 is definitely a one-bid league now. What's fascinating to me is Clemson. Clemson, I think, is in the interesting space where they really can't make the ACC title game. It's going to be Miami and SMU. But if it's Miami-SMU and Miami beats SMU, there's a case to be made to let Clemson in. I don't think it will happen. And we talked about this with the Lane Kiffin stuff last week. I think that there is a vested interest in college football in keeping conference championship games relevant. And I think that would make the ACC a one-bid league. I think Clemson has as legit a case as anybody to get one of those at-large spots. I also think they're not going to take an ACC third place team and leave the second place team out because they lost in the title game, because that's going to be bad for business for them long term. If you start having coaches really not want to be in that game, that's going to be a bad situation for everybody all the way down the line. So my guess would be it ends up being a one-bid league unless somehow SMU slips up and Clemson can get into that title game. My Jayhawks taking care of business against Colorado. That's all. I was standing on our business here. Where was that at the start of the season? I don't know. Notre Dame taking care of Army. That cleans that up pretty neatly. Notre Dame will be in. Indiana lost to Ohio State. You cannot let Indiana into the college football playoff. And I say that with all due respect. And if you're a Big Ten fan, if you're a Kurt Cincinnati fan, so spare me. Oh, Indiana's only got one loss. How many losses does SEC teams have? Three losses? Here's what we know. And this goes back to the Clemson thing too. If you let Clemson in and they play an SEC team, what's going to happen? What's going to happen is the same thing that happened to them when they played Georgia at the start of the season. They're not in the same league. They're not of the same caliber. Indiana, it's more dangerous to let them in because Clemson scheduled Georgia. They had the guts to do that. Indiana, and this is through no fault of their own, but hasn't played anybody. And if you let a one-loss team in that doesn't challenge itself over a three-loss team that's playing some of the best teams in America, you're going to set up a world where we stop having good college football every September. Because the committee says wins and losses are the only things that matter. Why in the world would you chase anything else? Why would you schedule a Georgia-Clemson early season game? And don't say money, because the money is in making the playoff. There is far more money to be had in making the playoff than there is in playing a one-off game in September on TV. That's what scares me. If you let Indiana into the playoffs, I fear you're sending the message, pad your schedule, get some wins, we'll see you in the playoffs. And that's not a message we want to send to anybody in year one of this format. Ohio State, though, here's the thing. Ohio State, Oregon, we played that game. It was fun. It was a close game. It could have gone either way. We're going to play it again in the Big Ten title game. And then we might play it again in the playoffs. Three is a lot. Three is a lot of Ohio State, Oregon's. I'm not sure anybody wants that. You know, certainly NFL has that where you get Ravens Steelers twice and then get it again in the postseason. I don't know if college football is fully ready for everything coming its way in the new playoff world. So we'll keep an eye on that. Rankings come out Tuesday. We'll react to them, of course, Wednesday on this very fine program. That'll be our last one before we shut it down Thursday and Friday for Thanksgiving, back Monday to wrap up what should be a very eventful Commonwealth Cup. Coldest Commonwealth Cup on record, 18 degrees at kickoff in Blacksburg on a Saturday night. Both teams at 5 wins, and I've said this, and I am absolutely, y'all back it up, if Brent Pry loses this game, I don't think he's the head football coach of the Hokies anymore. I think this is rarely do you get the black and white must win game designation. That was for UAWAD, the must win game designation. Brent Pry must win Saturday night against UVA. And I fear the UVA may be ready to go. The offensive line has big question marks, but they can run the ball and they can play defense. Jonas Sanker's the real deal. If Tech doesn't have a quarterback, if they're not settled, if Drones isn't quite right, and now obviously you got Schley and Pop, you got a lot of guys coming through. If they're not ready, I'm a little bit scared of what's going to happen there from a Virginia Tech perspective. Now, Tony Elliott doesn't need the win, doesn't need the validation. He's got five. He got the win against Pitt. That was perfect. That was the one he needed. But, man, if you get this one, he is playing with some house money Saturday night, 8 o'clock down in Blacksburg. I think this has the potential to be a very, very fun Commonwealth clash. And if it's a one-score game, well, Brent Pry doesn't like hearing that it's going to be a one-score football game. If it's a one-score football game, if it's not a blowout, oh boy, I think I might trust Tony Elliott more. We'll get you ready for that. We got two more days to get you ready for that, and then you can talk about it over the turkey on Thursday. And, of course, Saturday's the game, 8 o'clock. You'll hear the UVA feed over on 1140, Tech feed right here on 910. A little VCU basketball for you on Friday as well. Joey Rodriguez's numbers goes up into the rafters at the Siegel Center. But we're focused on the Commanders today. Misery Monday for the Washington Commanders. You know what I think? I think Jaden Daniels played well, and I think Cliff Kingsbury is in for a week of hot takes. Does he fade as the season goes on? Yeah, he does fade as season's gone. Is he fading right now? Yeah. He's fading right now. And there's injuries? Man, there's just bookending injuries there, which is brutal. You lose B-Rob on the first play, Eckler on the last play. That is tough to stomach, losing those two guys, because those are the ones you relied on to set the tone, to carry you, to put you in favorable situations. Now there's even more on number five's shoulders, and I think he can handle it. I think he handled it well yesterday. But he's going to need a little bit of help, and he's going to need an offensive coordinator who can put him in tempo and put him in good spots. And I know he had the pass to McLaurin late, and that pads the numbers. But 74 yards rushing, that was legit. 275 in the air, even if you take out the Terry pass. I thought he had an overall productive day. He's back to being healthy. He's back to being ready to go. You got individual performances that were strong. Dorrance Armstrong, Mike Sanristel. There were some game balls to be given out, but there were some real lowlights and some real embarrassing moments. And the end of the day calculus, Dan Quinn was a bright side guy, right? Hey, we showed fight. We never give up. I get that. But you also can't lose to your rival when they're 3-7 and Cooper Rush is their quarterback and they keep giving you the ball the whole first half, begging you to score. Here's the ball. Would you like to score? Oh, no, thank you. We've got 3 points. How could we possibly want to score any more than that? Whew. It was a rough first half for the Commanders. We'll crosstalk about that after this. Bring on AWOD Radio, live from Capitol Ale House. Take you up to his program, Grant and Danny Drive You Home. Who's talking at 6? You know where you are. You're at 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.